Good morning, everybody. For those of you that don't know me yet, my name is Ronald Pieterse. I'm one of the elders in church. I'm not the pastor. I have the privilege of bringing you the word this morning. But before we get to the word, something that we actually touched on a while back with the leadership training that we had. It's actually leadership training, but it's actually just training, because anybody that wants to go can just come. And it was something that Pastor Andre shared with us. And it was something that just really challenged me. And it's something that I felt that I will do this morning, even though it is uncomfortable as it can be. But I just want everybody that has not received a hug this morning just to stand up in church now, in this place. We did not. You're lying. I gave you a hug. So anybody that did not receive a hug this morning, please stand up. I'm not joking. I'm going to wait for everybody to stand up that has not. Esther, wait. Now you're jumping the gun. Okay. Esther, there's another one. Lachia. Okay. Amen. Okay, I'm glad to see there's only three people that did not receive hugs. So what's your name again? Eno, stand up. I will give you a hug. Welcome, Eno. First, don't think it's your first time visiting here today. Second time. Okay. Excuse me. I heard you were in cell, a small group. But, okay. So thanks, guys. It's amazing to see that you hug the people as they come in. And it's something that I always want to look at as it's like, it mustn't just be something superficial. I did not hug Eno just to hug him. I wanted him to make him feel welcome. And it was something that challenged me amazingly, because it's something I'm an introvert, meaning I don't need people around me to experience love or to experience things in life. Whereas extroverts, they love people, they love the attention. I don't like attention. I shun it. I walk away from it. I don't like it. But it's something that's just so profound that this is something we need to do and find a way of making it real. Not just doing it for the sake of doing it, but making it real. And that is something that we have to do. For me, it's an amazing challenge, because I only hugged one person today, but at least I hugged somebody. But I must do it more often. And I just challenged myself and said, Lord, how can I do this? That it has meaning, it has impact, and it's lasting. Because I just asked this question, how do I do this? How do I keep this up? From day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, without letting it lose its power. Because a hug can be a simple thing, but can it be the most powerful thing that you can experience on this earth? Somebody that needs a hug, that just is in dire straits, that just has got nothing, and they receive a hug, a love. That's an amazing place to be, especially if it's real. So that's a challenge for me this year. I'll make it your challenge as well. Excuse me, but I will. Every time I get the opportunity, I will challenge you. I will challenge myself that we love one another in a real way. Make it practical. Give somebody a hug. Give them a word of God, even more powerful. Don't keep a word that you have in your heart for somebody for yourself. It is useless like that. Even if you're afraid it might be wrong, take it to somebody that you trust and know that knows God in a real way. Just say, this is a word I want to give to somebody. Is it something that is real truth? Is it something that will build them up, build that person up, give them love? And be open to criticism. Now I'm getting way off topic here. It's not even part of my sermon today. But I just felt I needed to share that. So I'm glad everybody received the hug. I'm sure there's a few that did not stand up that should have stood up, and you now feel, shucks, I should have stood up. Amen. But we will do this more often. We will give everybody hugs in this place. Not just to do it, but because we love you. And this last song just demonstrated that Jesus will embrace you. And we are Jesus. We are his body. We must embrace the people. Even if they are part of the same body, even more important. Amen. Father God, we just want to come this morning and just say thank you, Lord, for your word that is so powerful, Lord God, and just that the truth that it brings and speaks, Lord, into our lives, Father. We can come this morning, Lord, just to be alive, Lord, just to receive your word in such an awesome way, Father, that there will be testimonies here today that just speaks of your goodness and your love and just your amazing grace for us in so many ways. Lord, we just want to bow our knees, Lord, bring our hearts and our spirits, our souls, our everything before you, Lord, and just allow your word to wash over us, to cleanse us, to show us lies in our own lives, Lord God, that we've accepted as truth, Father. But your word is truth above all else, Lord God, where so many people in this world, so many things in this world is just trying to get rid of you, Lord, just trying to get rid of God and the consequence of there being a God in this world, Father. Because if there's a God, Lord, there's so many things we are accountable for, Father. And we will be held accountable by the judge that has to judge us, not because he wants to, but because he has to. It's his word, it's his law. And we are under that law, Father. But we've also received freedom, Lord, in such an amazing way, Lord, that we can just testify of it. Lord, I just bring this word, Father, that wants to gallop like a horse from underneath me, Lord. I just want to bring this word that will be, Father, perfect in every way, Lord, that your spirit will guide my words, my heart, my thoughts, my mind, my everything, Lord, that I can bring forth, Lord, that what you've placed on my heart to share with your people here today, Lord, that it will accomplish, Lord, what you've called it to do, and that it will bless the people as it has blessed me, Lord God, that I cannot contain myself, Lord, of knowing you, Lord, your goodness, your awesomeness, Lord. And I just want to testify of your greatness, Lord. That is something that's everlasting, Lord. It's truth in my life in so many ways. Whenever the world wants to come and drown it, Lord God, your truth stands out like a beacon, Lord, that I can cling to, hold on to, no matter what the circumstances, Lord God. And even if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Lord. For you are with me always. Amen. Now, yeah, like I am so excited about this word I'm about to share with you. And I'm also fearful because I received this amazing revelation last night and I've not been able to put it in a sermon that's I can give to you saying, go preach this to somebody else. So I've summarized it and now I have to expand it to what it's supposed to give you. And I just honestly pray that I can give it to you in the way that I have received it. And it's just exciting, and it's, so if I get off track, just, I'll bring it back, I promise. Yeah, Paul will love this title, if it's already there. So yeah, Paul just shared on something 2 weeks back, and I don't know, I didn't see myself as that, and then he shared it, it's like, okay, yeah, okay, I do that. But it's a revelation that I've received. And it's not, and it's why I'm preaching on this today. I thought, it's not what I wanted to preach. I had something totally else in mind, and I was preparing my mind for this, and then God just showed me this, and it's like, Lord, I'm going to do this. Okay, let's do this. Fear. And it's something that we have to understand it for what it really is. Because you can look at this and think, oh, Lord, that's contradicting the fear of the Lord. That does not make sense to me. Because where does love and fear come get together in God, who is love? Yet we have to fear him. And there was something that, just a revelation that I received a while back as well, that it's, fear is in our Christian walk of life is a bad thing, in a true sense of the word. But in a practical way, if you look at your life and how you grew up, fear is a very powerful learning tool in a good way. Now everybody's like shocked looking at me. How can he say that? But I'll take it further. If you, me as a father that has boys that's very inquisitive, wanting to do things, if I tell them, listen, don't put your hand in the fire, it is dangerous. What do they do? Ah, oh, fire. Power. It hurt me. I am now afraid of that thing. I will not do that again. powerful learning tool. Not the best. I'm not saying fear is good in any sense, but it is a powerful learning tool, especially in a natural sense. When you look at everything in the natural, learning things the hard way. Not the way it was meant to be, but the way, unfortunately, it is today. Learning the hard way. Getting hurt. Ouch. Okay, I did that. I won't put my hand in that mouthful of teeth again. It bites. Don't do it again. Whenever you see a mouthful of teeth, there's this exclamation mark in your head going off. Danger, danger, danger. I don't know, there's one of my boys has got a cartoon. It's got this monkey that goes, danger, danger. So in our minds, we get this monkey jumping around, danger, danger, danger. And now that's not in any way with reference to evolution, just so that we're clear on that. Okay, so what is fear? There's a definition that I have. I will read out loud as you are reading it as well, Johan. Fear, a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whatever the threat, whether the threat is real, imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Danger, danger. You'll hear that a lot today. And that triggers fear. But it's also knowledge. Because you've learned something from that fear. And like I said, unfortunately in the world today, we are gripped by fear of many things, whether real or imagined. Now in my life when I grew up, I was very afraid of being like, or growing up to be like my father. Now I love my father very much. He's got amazing attributes, but he's not a godly man. And I wanted to be a godly man. And in that fear, it was just, I will not be like my father. I will not be like my father. And what happens? You focus that attention and that fear manifests in your life. And before you know it, I was my father. I was like my father. I had my father's weaknesses. I had these attributes that I did not like. I never smoked, but something small. But all of the other attributes I could see in myself. And by the grace of God, his hand reached in and he touched me. He gripped me. He took me from that place of utter despair, thinking of, what am I going to do now? I'm exactly what I didn't want to be. And he took me and he took me into place and said, but this is who you are in me. This is who you have in you. My characteristics, my attributes. Not perfect, but getting there. And it was such a relief. Experiencing that freedom from sin. Being captured in a mold that you didn't want to be. And that mold just being broken down completely. Imagine fear that manifests and becomes something real, tangible. Every day in all our lives. A real fear is easy to understand. That is danger, danger, danger. This is real. This is threatening me. This is threatening my life. This is threatening my existence. Just the next slide, Johan. A specific instance of a propensity for such a feeling. Abnormal fear of heights. I will enjoy this. You might not enjoy it, but I will enjoy it for sure. And this last definition was something amazing on the internet. Just the next slide, Johan. A reverential awe, especially towards God. The fear of God, which is what my sermon is all about today. And I will break down boundaries and preset conditions in your mind and your heart that is perversed or has been perversed by this thought of fear of God. And to realize that the fear of God is something beautiful, amazing, and it guides us in such an amazing, powerful way that it sets us free as well. Amazing, amazing things. So, yeah. So let's get into this. I don't even know where my sermon is. Okay. Gravity. Now, this was such an amazing, powerful, simple way of defining who God is in a symbolic way. Who's afraid of gravity? Now, by hands, who's afraid of gravity? No. Who's afraid of gravity? Okay, it's a trick question, but I see somebody raising their hands. But it's a trick question because it depends on where you are when I ask you this question. You want just the first few slides, please? So if I ask you in this scenario, are you afraid of gravity? Nope, next one. Not the next one, the first one. The valley. Who's afraid of gravity? We need to put the lights off because you need to get this effect. Michael, you can just close that door without kicking the cup. Okay, so I ask you again, who's afraid of gravity in this scenario? There might be a few people afraid of sheep, but not gravity. Okay, next one you want. Okay, who's afraid of gravity? I just had to get the valley and the sheep and the green grass and all that going. It's just the... Okay, who's afraid of gravity? That sheep is thinking, gravity? What's gravity? I just have grass. Next one you want. Now, this is where I want to be. This is where I picture myself. If I want to meditate on something still and quiet, this is where I want to go. And this obviously is the vista that anybody would dream to have from his bedroom window. Just enjoying the view. I think there's one more. Yes. Now it starts sinking in. Who's afraid of gravity? The first part is beautiful. The second part, you start thinking about gravity. What it means. Now for me, gravity plays a critical role in my life because I do rock climbing as a sport. So that is something that I enjoy. It's something that I can't get enough of. But it brings you to that place. Do you understand gravity? Do you fear it? Or do you respect it? Because if you fear gravity, you will not go rock climbing. Next slide, John. Now, this goat doesn't have an understanding of gravity at all. I've seen these nature movies with these goats. I don't know what their real name is, but they're running up slopes that I would think twice about climbing with a rope. But they just do it. This is their natural environment. They run up those slopes like it's flat ground, no worries. Here and there, some of them miss a step and they don't run no more. Next one. I think this... Okay, you can't really see it properly, but this is some of the rock climbers from Namibia climbing at Spitzkoppe. Now, this, you start understanding gravity much better from that position. Thinking a bit more about gravity and what am I doing in this spot? I should be down on the earth where it's flat and nothing that I have to cling to that's iffy at best. Next slide, Johan. And if you reach this place and you think, what am I doing here? You're definitely in the wrong place. Because there is no turning back. You've committed. You're on that ledge. And you have to go. There's no... The one thing we say in climbing is, where do I go? Up. There's only one place to go, and that's up. Next slide. Now, this is where you start flaunting with life. Well, not flaunting with life, I don't know, what's the word, I can't, flaunting with danger or something like that, what's, flirting with danger. You can't really see it, but this guy is standing on a beam that's basically one foot wide, and there's nothing attached to him. Now, this guy might understand what gravity is, but he's testing those boundaries to a serious extent. And the problem with that is, once you get too comfortable with things like this, you start doing them in such a way that it has to go further, take it further. Okay, and the next one you're on. Now, this is where I love to be, with the rope attached to me, attached to the rock somewhere, going up a face that seems impossible. This is also Spitzkopper. And that's a lady, I think, Barrett, that's climbing it. So gravity takes a whole new perspective from that view. Next one you're on. Gravity. You understand it now much clearer. Last one you're on. And this is the one that you basically have to say, why? Because you need to get that vertigo effect where you stand at such a high place, it confounds your senses and you start being pulled in. And people literally fall from that dizziness of the height, the fear that they get from that height. And that for me is exactly what the fear of God means as well. Exactly where we as humans have failed in so many senses, in so many ways. And I wanted to go much further with this, but it's been, I had to summarize it, and it's now incomplete, but it will give you an indication. Just the next slide you're on, and just keep it on, don't take it away. If you look at the world, it's basically defined in this picture, very crudely, but exactly what is happening in the world today. We were meant to live in the valley of goodness, where things are peaceful, where we can have joy, love, but it's also a place where we're in harmony with gravity, where it's peaceful, where there's no challenges, where there's no, well, there are challenges, but you understand what gravity is. You respect it for what it can do. And you live in such a way that it does not endanger your life. But you have to know what gravity is. You have to respect it. But unfortunately, in this world, gravity has been taken away, or the fear of gravity. And the world is basically trying to get up this mountain of success, climbing this big, great mountain that is full of pain, fear, and destruction, where we also were at one time or another. Sometimes still try and go and climb it in our ignorance. And basically, as you go up this mountain, it's just getting trickier and trickier. You get hurt. You experience life in a way it was never meant to be. All with the goal of reaching the top, being the best, being the main man, being the whatever you want to call it. And so many times you reach that top part of the mountain that you think is defined as success, only to find it's actually empty and meaningless once you've reached this place. And that's where the real danger comes in. Because what else is there? There's only a drop after that mountain. And that's where, in my definition, there still needs to be hell written underneath there. Because once you've reached that place of despair, where else is there to go? If you don't know what gravity is, if you can't reach that place where God has called us to be, and we're playing in a whole different field as Christians. We have a whole different way of understanding how this world works, simply because of this word that explains to us exactly what gravity is doing, what it will do, what the consequences will be if you misuse it. And we living here in the Valley of Goodness is a place where we can basically receive the goodness of God. And it's peaceful. There's no stress. Well, there's stress, but you've got this peace of mind in you. That's in my life. It's crazy around me at this stage. But I just have that peace that just surpasses all understanding. Sometimes I throw my toys out of the cot, but then I come back to God and say, okay, sorry, God, I missed the point. I missed the mark. And that's simply walking into that place of obedience and saying, God, what do you want? Gravity, how do I not defy you? Try and defy you. Because I can try and defy gravity as much as I want. The real hard truth of the matter is I will come off second best. Gravity is a natural law. It will not stop because you just might die. It's the law. There's a consequence to that law if you disobey it. But gravity is something so amazing. We would not have been able to exist here today if it was not for gravity. Oh, thanks, Ernest. And the doors, and the fan. Sorry, Michael, JP. Sorry, I'm getting carried away here. So that, and that's just a, what do you call the English word? Don't even know the Afrikaans one now. It's symbolism, but there's a word for it. Saying one thing, but meaning another. Metaphor maybe, but I think there's another word. It might be a metaphor. But okay, so the metaphor for gravity, I think we all get that one. And it's just this place where gravity gives us peace. Because if I go sit here, I have no fear. Because I know gravity will keep this chair in place, keep me in place. I will not be going anywhere. I will not be floating off into space anytime soon. The end of the age is coming, so we don't know what will happen exactly, but I suspect gravity will be destroyed. Everything will be made new. But gravity is such an amazing thing that, okay, I want to do this now. Isaac Newton's famous theory, I don't have an apple, so my book has to do. It will do that every time. Every time. And there's nobody on earth that can explain why that works. You can go and Google it if you want. They've got theories and they've got hypotheses, but they don't know why this works like it works. Evolution cannot explain that. Thank God. Because God created it. He understands it. If you start looking at stars, what they actually are, burning masses with a gravitational force that's pulling everything together, and then there's multiple explosions according to this theory and hypothesis that it then explodes and then expands, and it's basically this constant explosion of matter, and that gives us the sun, the stars. Okay, my astronomy is not that good. I wish it was better because then I can keep you engaged for hours. But this is one DVD, Indescribable. What's the guy's name? Luigi. But yeah, that's an amazing thing to see and understand and grasp the bigness of his creation. And how insignificant our little planet is in comparison to the whole universe. And still that God loves us so amazingly. So now we're on the mountain. We were on the mountain of success. You can actually call it the mountain of sin as well. Because we've been separated from God in that sense. Separated from understanding who God is. And understanding the consequences of ignoring God. And this is something I'll get back to, I think, maybe at the end. Johan, can we just go to the next slide with just the one straight line? Okay, so the world is trying to... I need something to draw. This. If you destroy this, you destroy this. And if you destroy this, you destroy this. And then there's no consequence. This death basically means the consequence of sin is death. So the world is trying to remove God from our hemisphere, our existence. Because if there is no God, there is no sin. And I am not accountable for anything that I do on this earth, except man. But if God is real, and he exists, and he is the judge of all, he has made in his word the law. What it does it mean to be obedient to him and or disobedient? And if we are disobedient, we are in sin. If we are in sin, we are punishable by death once he judges us. You're on just the next slide. I also want to stay up here. Now, this was the word as God gave it to the Israelites, a very condensed summary. God gave his word to his people and basically held before them the blessing and the curse. Obedience, disobedience to his word. And if you obey the word, the blessing gave you life. If you disobey that word, you sinned, and the punishment of sin is death. And this is almost where we got stuck as humans for millennia and the Israelites. And this was it. And the problem with this was that if you look closely, there are arrows here. That once you realize his word and you've sinned, there's no way of getting to this place again. It's a one track, no return. You can only go one way. The word, the law does not allow you. Okay, remember, this is the Old Testament. The law does not allow you to go back to the word into blessing. The word, the law does not allow it. Once you've broken the law, you've broken it. You're guilty. You need to be judged. But God then said, Israelites, I see the problem. You cannot do this. You've sinned. So he made a shortcut for them. Just the next slide, Johan. Nope. Yeah. He gave them an option of sacrificing something to bring atonement for their sins so that they can go back into this place of blessing where they're in the will of God. Even though they sinned, they've slaughtered something. Something had to die for their sin, for them to receive the blessing, the life that God has called them for. And this is just the way that God said, but this is, I need to do something. And that he went back millennia and already started from Genesis, knowing the consequences of his law and our sinful nature, where we had to go to, what he had to do to help us understand that this law is not there to punish us. He wants us to have life and life in abundance, but we don't know how to do that. We unfortunately have a short wire, I call it a short in electrical terms. A short is a place where the current is flowing where it should not go. Aaron should actually explain this. He might explain this much better than I do. And we have a short or tendency in this direction. It's just the way that we were made because of the consequences of sin that Adam and Eve committed. Their wrong decision, which created a shortcut in our makeup, in our DNA almost. So the Israelites were basically constantly in this. And the problem for God probably was that the Israelites is his people, but there's a whole world that he loves. He doesn't just want to destroy them. He loves them. He made them. So how can this be? How can God just destroy what he loves? And that's basically where Jesus came into the picture. Just the next slide, John. Which just blew me away. Jesus became the Word, his flesh. Or became flesh. He's the Word that became flesh. He was this pure and spotless lamb of sacrifice that took our place. Where were we supposed to take the punishment or something else, a goat or whatever you plan to sacrifice as atonement for your sins? He took that place. And more than that, he became our connection to God. Whereas previously the Israelites only had covenant with God, that they had word to stand by, that God said this is his promise, this is his covenant with his people. This is what you can get from God if you do this. It gives you life. But Jesus became the way, the truth, and the life. By faith in him. And we walk from sin into blessing, into life, being connected with God in Jesus Christ. Now that just blew me away. I was just sitting there and think, how amazing is this? And that was just God. Now, where does fear connect with this? It basically starts off with that first picture. If God is real, it follows that all of this is real. And the choices that we make are real. The consequences of those choices are real. They do not only perpetuate in this world, but also in the spiritual. And you can see part of the spiritual in the natural that we live in today. You can simply see that by the way that you live. The places you are going. Are you going up the mountain of success? Or are you spending time with God in the valley of goodness? And the fear of God. Fear. Danger, danger, danger. Meaning that God is real. He will judge me. He loves me, but he has to judge me according to his law, his word that he cannot go back on, his promise. And that's where the fear of God in the Israelites were also a way of understanding this. And they had a real concept of what this was. We can just read in Job 28, verse 28. And he said, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. As well as Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. All practicing them have good understanding. His praise stands forever. And then Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And again, that's that fear concept of God teaching us. Yes, I'm a God that loves. I'm a God that made you. But I'm also holy. And our concept of holy is so warped and so out there where we get casual with God. And I caught myself this morning wanting to go in for intercession. I quickly want to check the cricket. And I was like, Reinhold, what are you doing? You're going for intercession now. This is not a place where you now go and stop and watch cricket. So I put my phone back. Holy. Cricket? Intercession? God? Hello? See, I love saying that. Hello? Those two don't mix. Being in a what shall we call, praying or interceding somewhere and your phone rings. If you're a doctor, yes, there's grace for you. You are allowed to quickly see if it's something important or if it's just something. But if you're like me, there's my wife might phone me to tell me the gate is broken. But other than that, there should be no obstacles. So I will lovingly ignore a phone in a intercession prayer. Love you. But the fear of God has to be real in your life. He is holy. You have to understand that. There are things that you do that you don't do when you're before God. When you worship, you don't look at the guy next to you and say, okay, what's he? Oh, he's raising his hand. He's going on his knees now. Okay, that's too far for me. I'll just stand a bit. Yeah, I'll not see him going on his knees. Not to knock people, but worship is a holy place. It's not about him, her, me. It's about God. It's a holy place where you sacrifice whatever it is before God to give him the worship that he deserves. Lay down your sins. Say, God, sorry for this and this and this. Now I can worship with a heart that is light. Don't try and be holy here and say, okay, God, I did not do anything, but Philip, ooh, Philip, this week, I saw you when you were in that car shouting at the taxi. And now you're standing here worship with your hands raised. Just an example, not real, just an example. Judging people. The fear of God, where is it? We have to understand this concept. The fear of God. And this was another powerful thing in Exodus 20, verse 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, so that his fear may be before your faces, so that you may not sin. So if God is real, and I sin, or I want to commit sin, but God is in my heart, I have to, okay, God, this is now something that's in my mind. I have to resist this, because I fear you. I fear losing your blessing. I fear losing the life that you've promised me. And that is what sin does so obviously in our lives. And we miss that. 3 years later then, oh God, I missed you completely. I'm here on the mountain halfway up without a rope and I have to get back down. God, help me. And there comes that rope. Whoosh. That's something you don't understand now, but as a rock climber, when you have a rope, that's something that just gives you that there's a rope. Thinking of climbing this without a rope. But it's also a place where we have to overcome our fear. And you get people like Sias and Johnny. They go up the mountain. Not for the success, but to get the people that's trying to get to success. Outreaches. Getting to people that's on the mountain. Striving to reach it, to make it to the top, that's completely lost. In bondage, in sin. They don't have that peace. They don't have the joy. They don't have what we have. And that surpasses our understanding. And they look at us and think, but you're a Christian. How can you be happier than I am? How can you have more joy driving in or walking to church while I am driving down with my BMW and it makes me feel empty? It surpasses their understanding. It surpasses my understanding sometimes. But for us, it's real. For them, it's like you're living in cuckoo land. But for us, it's real. We see these principles working in our lives. Working, not maybe, working. Now, I'm nowhere near in the place where God has called me to be, but I am going there, I promise you. And I will reach it. I will lay hands on people and they will get healed. I will see amazing things that God will do through me, not because I am great, but because we serve an awesome God beyond our understanding. And this is the part where we have to understand as well. I'm not preaching fear here. Is it the fear of God that leads us to repentance? Okay, who knows this? Trick question. Is that yes or no? Okay, it's a good thing I didn't say raise your hands. Romans 2 verse 4. I'm not even sure if that's the right verse, but that's the one that I got. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's not the fear that drives us to God. It's the fear that keeps us from sin. But it's looking down at the valley from the mountain and seeing the blessing, the love, the joy, the peace, wanting that and saying, God, here I am. I don't want to be on this mountain going nowhere, slowly, getting hurt all the time, falling without a rope, being broken. That's the story on the mountain. And then you see us going there on the mountain, but that's the amazing thing. I just had this picture of see us going, but he's got a rope. He's being guided with his rope going up the mountain to a specific place, a specific destination, a specific person, guided, not going willy-nilly up the mountain to see who we can grab and get back. God is not into cowboys. He's like me, safety first. Know the rules. There are rules when going up a mountain. You don't take off the rope. If you can't reach him, then it means God did not intend for you to reach him. But if God says jump over that ledge where that guy just fell into, it means you jump. Not caring whether God has you, you have to trust him. He has you. He holds you in his hand. And nothing can take you from his hand. And that is where this thing just blows my mind away, how God just works through his goodness. But the fear is important because fear brings understanding of who God is. And an amazing part that that JP shared this morning, that just so brought it together for me. In John 8 verse 31 to 32. I think you want to put it up there, yeah. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word and in my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is that truth of knowing the fear of God, understanding what it means, knowing that he's a God that loves us, amazingly, abundantly, above all that we can hope for. And he wants us to know that. And that sets us free from this world, from this mountain of success. Because we don't live by those rules anymore. We have a higher truth that surpasses the understanding that guides our every day, our every thought, that gives us this place that we can run to and cry, Abba Father. And we get that. And that is where we are connected to God in such a awesome way that we cannot be thankful enough for that grace that we've received. Amen. Father God, we just want to humble ourselves before you today, Lord. Lord, we want to understand this fear, Father, this reverential awe of knowing you, Lord. Being the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And the place where you stand is holy, Lord. But Father, we have have grace, Lord, that we can enter into your presence and stand by your feet, holding your hand, Lord, in such a way that we can feel the heart of the Father, that we can just experience this love, Lord, that you have towards us. Being fearful, Lord, but at the same time being so excited of being close to you. Experiencing the love that you feel towards us, showing us that love through your Son, Jesus. That is just the center of everything that you have done, Lord. It just says, Lord, that you had a plan from the beginning, Lord. And you didn't want any one of us to suffer, Lord. To suffer the consequences of our sins. But that you had a plan, Lord. You had a way for us, Lord, just to receive your blessings, Lord, the life that you've planned for us, that we don't have to fall ourselves broken on the mountain that's going nowhere, that doesn't give us that joy and satisfaction of knowing you. Lord, and hearing your voice is the most awesome privilege, Lord, of seeing that you are real, Father, that what we practice, Lord, we can preach because we have authority in you, Lord. And that authority is not something we've dreamed up or something only spiritual, Lord. It is something we can see in practice in people's lives, Lord, in our own lives. How we are taken from glory to glory. How we are changed, Lord, by your word. And Father, we can just glorify you for that, Lord, that you are God with us, that you want to be with us, Lord, that you want to live in our hearts and our minds, that you want to show us every promise that you have for us. And it's such a place of blessing, Lord, that it overflows, Father. We want to be in that place where your blessing overflows, Father, that people can see it in our lives, and that they hunger, Lord, to be in that valley of goodness, Father. In your midst, amongst your people. And Lord, sometimes we make the mistake of trying to get our back on the mountain because we were deceived, Lord, by some other reason, choice, desire. Father, we just confess today, Father, that we want to be back down in the valley, Lord. We want to be in the valley where the love just never ceases. And Father, from that place, Lord, that we can go forward as well, Lord, where you build us up in the valley, Lord, where you train us, Lord, where you give us the tools, Lord, to go up the mountain, to fetch those that are seeking you, Lord, that is longing for your touch, longing for your embrace, Father, and we can be your hands and feet that's going to remind them, Lord, to come back down, to come and receive and see the goodness of God. Father, we have to remind ourselves of your goodness and where we stand, Lord. That we have to align ourselves with that word, Lord, it's like standing underneath a shower, Lord. We won't feel anything, Lord, we are not underneath the water, Lord. We don't feel those drips running down our skin, Father. I pray that your grace will be like a shower of water, Lord, that's dripping from us, Lord. And that people can just experience that cleanliness, that cleanness, that freeness, Lord, that we can experience here every day, Father, being grounded in you, in your love, in your truth, that sets us free, Father, from any bondage, Father. And nothing we do on the mountain, Lord, will keep us from the valley. We can enter into any time, Father, and your hands, your arms are open wide, receiving any, Father, who come down. And Lord, we ask that you just prepare our hearts, Lord, show us, Lord, the way forward, Father, how to live in the valley, how to stay in the valley, and how to rescue those on the mountain, Father, just to be in your will, Father, knowing, Father, what is right and what is wrong. And seeking your blessings, Father. Seeking life. That is your promise for us. In Jesus' name. And just while all eyes are closed.